House, please come to order. House, come to order. Will members please show their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please announce the total.
31 members present.
Representative Meekins?
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Zaroff, Vasca, Fanning, Carney, and Chuckwuck are excused from the call, but Chuckwuck is here today.
Please rise for prayer by intern Perry C. Francis of the Resurrection Lutheran Church.
Let us pray. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy and hear our prayers, which we bring before you as we begin our new day. We open our hearts to you, O God, and ask that you will guide us so that we might have the ability to do the things set before us this day. We search for the understanding and patience needed as we try to work together in our jobs, which sometimes bring us at odds. Help us to work out all our decisions together for all the people we work for, the people of our state, your people. Grant to us the wisdom as we guide our state in the direction which brings health, security, and happiness to the people who live here. Make us examples of your strength and wisdom in our tasks today, so that we might make the decisions for the advancement of all. We also ask, Father, that at the week's end we might find rest and refreshment so that we can begin our new week with strength and mercy to do our jobs. We ask these things of you, O Father. Amen.
Jeff Hayes.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the prayer be spread on the journal.
Hearing no objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the Chief Clerk please certify as the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 74th day.
Representative Meekins.
I move and ask unanimous consent the House approve as certified by the Chief Clerk the journal for the 74th day.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the journal for the 74th day will be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk. Are there guests for introduction in the House? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce in Gallery B the General Manager of the Anchorage Municipal Light and Power Company, Mr. Tom Starr.
Are there other guests for introduction? Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, the former member of this body in Gallery B, Mr. Jim Parsons.
House Sanities. House, please come back to order. House, please come back to order. Are there other guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has approved the following citations and they have been sent to enrollment. Honoring Lincoln Milligrock and honoring Peter P. Noyakuk. The Senate has passed the following and it is transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 4, Finance amended by the Finance Committee. An act relating to health care services and the coverage of the services of nurse midwives under the insurance laws of the state.
Health, education, and social services.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr.
Representative
Speaker.
Clarkson. House Sanities. House, please come back to order. Are there further messages from the Senate?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
The Committee on Resources has had House Joint Resolution 27 proposed the Keene Dam project in Canada under consideration and reports it back that it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 27 Resources and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by the co-chairmen, Jaroff and Gardner. Signing do pass, Jaroff, Vasca, Sutcliffe, Grusendorf, Bettesworth, and Gardner. House Joint Resolution number 27 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 31, Management and Use of State, Municipal, and Private Land under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 31 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by the co-chairman, Jaroff, and Gardner. Signing do pass, Gardner, Chuckwuck, Hurlburt, Smith, Sutcliffe, Grusendorf, Barnes, Halford, and Bettesworth. Signing do pass, Land Ho, Jaroff. House Bill 31 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 237, increasing the maximum amount of the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 237 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by the co-chairman, Jaroff, and Gardner. Signing do pass, Gardner, Jaroff, Chuckwuck, Smith, Sutcliffe, Grusendorf, Bettesworth, and Halford. Having no recommendation, Barnes. House Bill 237 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had House Bill 274, Electrical Codes, under consideration and recommends that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 274 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Hurlburt, Chairman, concurred in by Martin, Hurlburt, Gardner, Fuller, Cuddy, and Gardner. House Bill 274 has no further referral. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had House Bill 314, Employment of Children, under consideration and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Hurlburt, Chairman, concurred in by Hurlburt, Cuddy, Fuller, Martin, and Gardner. House Bill 314 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 394, a special appropriation to the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund, under consideration and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by the co-chairman, Jaroff, and Gardner, concurred in by Gardner, Jaroff, Chuckwuck, Hurlburt, Smith, Sutcliffe, and Bettesworth. Having no recommendation, Grusendorf and Halford. Signing do not pass, Barnes. House Bill 394 has a further referral to finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 416 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act authorizing advanced funding to retire in due course outstanding municipal general obligation bonds for schools and providing for an effective date.
Community, Regional Affairs, and Finance.
House Bill 417 by Martin. An act authorizing contributions to the School of Medicine of the University of Washington for the construction and support of a regional cancer research institute and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
House Bill 418 by Martin. An act making a special appropriation to the Office of the Governor for a contribution to meet costs of construction of a cancer research institute at the University of Washington and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to request that this remain in the clerk's office for a couple of hours following the session, sir, because I think a lot of people would like to read into it. It's a very good investment for Alaska. As many people know, the University of Alaska Medical School is a kind of a program that Alaskans often wish we should have our own medical school, but by the small investment we give to this university, it's a regional medical school, and we save hundreds of millions by not trying to duplicate. I think that's a small investment for what Alaskans will get out of it.
House Bills 417 and 418 will be held in the clerk's desk for 1 hour after session. Are there further bills for introduction?
House Bill 419 by Martin and Rogers, an act relating to computer crime.
Judiciary.
House Bill 420 by Freeman, an act relating to charter fishing vessels and operators.
Resources.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on the calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 174, Finance, by the Finance Committee. An act making supplemental appropriations to the Alaska Power Authority and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 174, Finance, under consideration and recommends that it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 174, Finance, recommends that it do pass and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Cotton, Buchholz, Adams, Carney, Haugen, Montgomery, Rogers, and Meekins. Moss signed no recommendation until fish and game budget is in detail is supplied. Malone signed no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Meekins.
I move and ask unanimous consent that House CS for CS for Senate Bill Number 174 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final, or be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Excuse me.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 174 Finance is adopted. Are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Meekins.
I'm just a little bit ahead of myself there, Mr. Speaker. Moving to ask and ask that the House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 174 Finance be...
Representative Meekins.
I got my mic on. Okay. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 174 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 174 Finance is in third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third and final time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 174 Finance by the Finance Committee. An act making supplemental appropriations to the Alaska Power Authority and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, this is a supplemental appropriation that seems to enjoy pretty wide support. It includes in Section 1 shortfall in the Power Production Cost Assistance Program that the legislature created last session. In addition, the original bill allowed for about $120,000 less than what Section 1 now allows for, and that would make the payments to those people who weren't able to enjoy the benefit of this program during the month of March due to the shortfall. This addition will be allowed in the form of a credit in the next month's billings. Section 2 of the bill brings the total cost of Phase 1 of the Susitna Feasibility Study from about $29.6 million to a total of $32.1 million, and almost half of these cost overruns are as a result of program additions and changes. We've got information on pretty detailed information on the other additions if anyone's interested. Section 3 was also an amendment that the Finance Committee approved that would allow for some new positions and associated costs for the Alaska Power Authority to essentially gear up for the large workload that they're expected to be handling over the next fiscal year.
So further debate? Representative Gardner?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to speak in favor of this bill and make just a couple of comments that I think would good information for the body to take in consideration. The power production assistance supplemental here is really necessary because the governor vetoed a similar amount of money. I think the legislature last year, when it passed power production cost assistance program, to subsidize the really incredible high costs of energy in some rural areas, passed a good piece of legislation, and we appropriately passed the right amount of money to fund it. But because there was opposition in the administration to the whole concept, I think they kind of took a whack at it, and as it turns out, we were right and they were wrong. And I think we may want to consider expanding this program this year. The reason I say that is that recently there's been a study issued by the Institute of Social Economic Governmental Research at the state here that shows that rural residents today are spending 29% of their personal income for energy, and that's many times more than those of us who live in urban areas are paying for energy consumption. The really distressing part of the study says that if things keep going like they are with deregulation of oil, which is obviously on the books and going to happen, and there's no alternate sources of energy supply in the rural area, that by 1985, 50% of people's personal income will be spent on their energy needs. And I think that, you know, this is just looking at what happens to the individual citizens. Obviously, the same thing is going to happen to any businesses in rural Alaska and anybody else trying to do anything out there. And I think it's a very critical problem. And in the short run, this power production assistance fund is probably the only way we can do anything to keep people from going bankrupt out there until we can come up with some longer range solutions to reducing energy costs out there. Just a comment also on section two. One of the things that's talked about a lot around here and is that we've got problems with jobs. I think I remember Representative Bettisworth speaking about this. And section two, even though it's only for feasibility and studies and research, actually does create jobs. Information is that for every $1 million we put into the power authority or any other source for energy feasibility, reconnaissance design, you get about 7 jobs per $1 million that are actually created here in Alaska out of that money. So even though this is feasibility money, there actually are jobs that result out of this appropriation. So that would amount to some 18 jobs during the term of that appropriation.
Is there further debate?
Question
before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 174, Finance. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
36 yeas, no nays.
So House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 174, Finance, has passed the House. Representative Meekins.
I'm moving out to unanimous consent that the roll call on House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 174 be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the roll call on House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 174, Finance, will be considered the roll call and effective date clause. Again, I would ask members not to move when there's a motion on the floor that's being voted on. House stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Would the House mind coming back to order? We are at the end of the daily calendar and to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask you one more time, I guess, and possibly make a motion what's happening on for a joint rule session.
Representative Randolph, the answer, of course, is the answer was provided to you a week or and a half ago or whenever you made that motion at that time is that negotiations and are going on with the Senate. Representative Smith at that time informed you of what their position is on a joint rule session and when they would like to do it, and that still stands.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, I don't think that's adequate. I think that's in violation of both the state constitution and the state statutes. And I think that this body is really begging the question. Well, I'll go ahead and make a motion and I'll debate it. I would move that we hold a joint session for the purpose of adopting uniform rules on April 6th, 1981.
Point of order.
Representative Meekins, state your point.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not trying to be contrary, but I believe that a motion would be more correct, would it not be, if we're say that we were to request of the Senate to have a joint hearing. The reason I say that, if I could just expand on that a little bit, is that it appears to me that everybody in this body at one time or another has voted in favor of having a joint session, and the problem we have is with the Senate, so I just wonder if you'd phrase your motion that way.
Representative Randolph, will you restate your motion, please?
Mr. Speaker, no, I will not. We got into that, Donnie.
Well, restate it for my benefit.
Okay, what I will state is that I'm moving that we will hold a joint rule session for the purpose of adopting uniform rules on April 6th, 1981.
The motion before the House is to hold a joint rules session on April 6th, 1980. There is objection. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I think that this subject's been discussed quite a bit. I think that everybody in here knows full well that we will have a session to adopt uniform rules before we complete this legislative session. There are some problems with that. We're attempting to solve those problems. And I suspect that the person who's making the motion is very much in favor of rules reform, just like the rest of us in this body. And I won't impugn his motives, but I'm starting to get tired of a competition in this house to see who's the most in favor of rules reform. We all are, and we're working on it, and there's a sincere effort being made to that effect.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, it's apparently a slow news day.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, the last speaker, I think I really should rise to a point of personal privilege on his very thinly veiled slur, but I'll consider the source and consider it a compliment, I guess. Mr. Speaker, I'm not the least bit sure that there is plans to have a joint rule session. I do believe there's plans to have some rules changes, and I think the resolutions and bills that are being worked through the committee system very well may turn out, as they did last session during the 11th legislature, to be all the rules changes we get. The real problem with that, of course, is that then only the leadership gets an opportunity to present their rule changes, some of which I agree with, some of which I do not, and I think that they don't go anywhere near far enough. There's a number of issues not dealt with at all in those efforts. If I was convinced there was, I think we're getting past the point. The statutes require for a joint session of the rules in the beginning of the session. I hope we're not still in the beginning of the session. I think it's an extremely proper motion. I'll make it several more times if necessary until we do in fact have a joint rule session. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question for the bodies, shall there be a joint rule session on April 6th? Representative?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, I have a question to the maker of the motion through the chair, and it does deal with motives, although not the motives of the maker of the motion. And that is, I'd like an answer on the floor of the House as to whether the maker of the motion believes or doesn't believe that the elected leadership of this House is trying to set up a joint session with the Senate for the purpose of considering uniform rules changes. Because I'm getting the impression the maker of the motion does not. And I think that impugns the motives of a number of people that have been charged with the responsibilities of doing that. Speaker, I'm convinced those people are pursuing their responsibility. Further, Mr. Speaker, we do have a bicameral system, and the constant renewal of this motion, I think, tends to ignore that fact, and I wonder why it does.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I frankly don't know the answer to Mr. Malone's question. I hope that his assessment of the situation is accurate. It seems to me that if that is true, and if the real holdup is on the other end of the hall, we could, in fact, very clearly place that responsibility by passing this motion. And that's what I suggested on every time I made this motion. And it seems to me that if we're going to have a rule session, certainly in a statutorily required time, that the passage of this motion by this body is absolutely necessary.
Is there further debate? Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think that I got to say this. I know it's a little bit inflammatory, but it's accurately pointed out from time to time on the floor of this House that when you're in the majority, you make the rules. When you're not, you make noise. Speaker, I think this motion is noise.
Is further debate? Question before the body is, shall there be a joint session on April 6th? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
There will be a roll call vote. All in favor of holding a joint session on April 6th? Excuse me. We should do it by roll call. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
17 yeas, 19 nays.
The motion has failed. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Bettesworth be excused from the call of the House April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Hearing no objection, Representative Bettesworth will be excused from the call of the House on April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? Announcements. Special order. Announcements. Representative Cotton. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, the House Judiciary Committee will meet at 1:15 this afternoon to consider House Bill 153, creating an Ethics Commission, and it is a major piece of legislation. I hope the members will be there with their amendments and suggestions.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, two bills relating to violence, efforts to address the problem of violence in Alaska, House Bill 287 and House Bill 345, will be heard in Hess today at 3 o'clock. House Bill 287 is some updating of the domestic violence legislation passed by this body last year, beefing it up a little bit. House Bill 345 is expanding the Violent Crimes Compensation Commission legislation.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, House State Affairs will meet at 3 o'clock to take up HCR 10, 15th Annual Boy Estate, HJR 29, pardon for Daniel Boone Reed, and we'll hopefully finish up on the Wickersham resolution.
Are there other announcements? Representative Cato.
Mr. Speaker, the House Transportation Committee will meet Monday morning at 8:30, and we'll be taking up HB 288 Mass Transit.
Representative Gardner.
The Resources Committee will be meeting at 3 o'clock today to continue testimony on energy needs in the state.
Other announcements? Special orders. Representative Moss.
Mr. Speaker, I want to rise make a few comments and compliment this body.
You have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, I just got a copy of the March issue of Life magazine from the governor's office, and I think a couple of bills that just passed out of resources, House Bill 237 and 394, is an indication of how we are arriving at these things, and I would like to read, for the benefit of the other members of this body, some of the things that's being said in national magazines about some of the things that we've been doing and bringing about in the past few years in the state of Alaska, namely in the agricultural area. The article in Life magazine has Landscapes of the New Pioneers. It is a series of articles that's about American renewal. And I would read this for the benefit of those who have not seen it. Who were the original pioneers? No doubt we romanticize, but surely we are right to think of them as rugged individuals grappling with a rugged land. People who suffered great hardships for the sake of private vision and yet were continually struck by the grandeur around them. Can that spirit still exist in this land today? Are there men and women still willing to take risk, economic now as well as physical, to pursue independent dreams? And are there still places in this country that are big enough and raw enough to challenge those dreams? The answer is yes. Here are some splendid examples of our national resourcefulness making the best of our natural resources. 2 years ago, the state sold to Carlson and 21 others in the farming rights on some 60,000 acres of wilderness in Delta Junction, not far from the Arctic Circle. A bulldozer cleared foot-thick moss and spruce trees, and last spring Carlson and his family planted 800 acres of barley. The crop thrived in the 20-hour daylight of the summer. The yields last fall turned out to be twice as great per acre as those in the Great Plains states. our successes here tell you that exciting things are still happening in this country. I feel real honored about this, and I think that this body should feel honored also, because just the other day we passed out two more bills out of resources that will help us continue on with these things that we're doing in agriculture, which is one of the greatest renewable resources we have presently being developed in the state. HB 237 and HB 394 enables the state to help the farmers continue on with this development. I want to thank this body for all the great things that they've been doing, their foresight in developing renewable resources. And I would like to show you the double spread of the mountains of grain that's being produced in Delta now. I do have this copy here if you'd like to look at it. It's a beautiful copy of what you produced here in this body and in the other administration parts of our state government. It's giving these people the opportunity to do the things that's going to help many of our lives throughout the following years. I would also, Mr. Speaker, like to comment on a letter that I received from you this morning, and the fact also that we discussed and passed out of this House a bill this morning on power. You spoke to the fact that your staff had been working on some of the problems we have on federal funds being cut out. Same thing is happening in agriculture, and I hope as we pursue these things on through the rest of this session, we'll take care of. I have a lot of problems in the school budgets because I see a lot of money being cut out by the federal government. We're going to have to take those things up to supplement them. But since we were talking about power this morning, I would read one of the comments you made on REA. And I guess I'm doing it because I've got two bills, HB 20 and HB 21. It addresses a 2% loan fund for REA power. The interest rate on rural electrification administration loans will rise from 2% to 5%, and direct lending will be allowed for distribution only, with generation and transmission excluded. Since 1941, REA has provided Alaska with $625 million in direct loans and loan guarantee commitments. There will be some of the electric utilities will be affected. The reason I bring this up is because it ties right in with our farming projects. We have a lot of farmers out there that are way beyond the ends of the lines. We have to continue to generate our electric power to operate these farms. And as the farm development continues, we're going to need electric power into the area. So I hope that this body will do as they have in the past few years, continue to back up our renewable resources by, in this particular case, supplying the funding that will continue and extend our transmission lines and put power on out into our communities where they need them. The federal government, I guess, probably had one of the greatest things going when they developed REA power in the lower 48. I suspect what they believe down there, we have no need of it any further, because they've put power lines out to a lot of the farms down there. We're just now starting. We're about 50 years behind. So as we deliberate here in the next few weeks, months, or what have you, and in the next session, let's take these things into consideration and help our whole state by developing the loan funds that will be available for the power companies to enlarge our power distribution, especially with Susitna coming online. We need some way to get it out there. All that power is going to be available. But I've got people that live right under a main transmission line between Healy and Fairbanks, and they've been trying to get power for 15 years. The line goes right over their house. They can't get it because they cannot afford $2,300 a pole to bring it in the 4 or 5 miles it needs to go. And that's the end of my comments today. But thanks to this whole body and the state government, I think that the national magazines are beginning to realize that we do have a better image than has been projected in the past for Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are there other special orders? Representative Abood.
I would like to make note of the fact I should think that Representative Moss would be very unhappy with that article. It's the first time I've ever known that Moss has gotten bulldozed.
Representative Brown.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to privilege the floor to address the body about somebody who was in the Iditarod race, almost.
You have the floor.
Speaker, there was a participant in the Iditarod race who was not one of the regular mushers, although he was mushing dogs along the trail. He was reporting for the Fairbanks Daily News Miner and filed several reports about trail conditions and reporting on the event as a sports reporter. And I think some of the members might remember it was Mike Davis who worked for the House Commerce Committee this last year. And I think that that kind of an effort is to be commended. I'm going to send him a note to that effect. I might solicit a few signatures from others. Considering the trail, I think it was probably more than just an adventurous thing. It was a pretty brave thing to do.
Representative Clarkson.
May we revert to announcements?
We are under announcements.
I just wanted to remind the members that tomorrow at 10:30 a.m., the HES committee will meet considering House Bill 194 relating to prison industries. 10:30 tomorrow morning.
Are there other special orders or announcements? Representative Smith.
Mr. Speaker, just briefly under special orders, I'd like the privilege of the floor to talk about federal shortfalls.
You have the floor.
I really want to commend you, Mr. Speaker, for the letter that you've placed in our mailbox today, and I want to draw attention to it, which is why I rise to this issue. We've talked lightly about the federal shortfalls for some time, and I believe when Senator Stevens spoke to us, it was really driven home that the problem is a little greater than just it's going to happen. It's going to happen at a time that we're not in session. So it's something that we need to anticipate. The federal fiscal year starts October 1st. You have laboriously gone through, I can tell, and labeled about $90 million in this federal shortfall and have researched the jobs that are involved and the projects that are involved. Last week I gave a brief presentation at the Democrat luncheon and I had done some of this myself. I just want to add a couple of more figures that I think are very sobering. The federal receipts funneled through the state structure last year totaled about $500 million, a little over. $208 million were funneled through our operating fund and $355 million were funneled through capital projects. That's $500 million of federal receipts that go through the state. You'll notice that the first item, Mr. Speaker, was your CETA that funnels through the state. As a former employee of the Department of Community and Regional Affairs and one who works with these programs, I was quite interested in the impact to other prime sponsors other than the state of Alaska. There's another $17 million going to Native corporations, and I do not have the figures for the city of Anchorage, who is also a prime sponsor and operates their own programs. So the root of the problem goes much deeper than the federal receipts funneled through the state. I believe that each of the members are going to hear from many organizations, not just on the CETA programs, not just on the projects that we have identified within our state structure, but on things that have prime sponsors outside the state governmental structure. With $500 million involved in state receipts, and we already know that there's a nonprofit match on one of them, we might be looking at better than $1 billion. Thank you.
Are there other special orders? House stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Are there other special orders? Representative Meekins.
I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 o'clock Monday morning.
Hearing no objection, the House is adjourned until 10 a.m. Monday morning.